Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, I got nothing else to add.
Dale, what the hell do I want to say? Each for All radio show on Co-op Radio, CFRO FM 100.5.
This is the post-traumatic anger support group, right?
It better be.
Good.
It's been one of those days.
I'm feeling punchy.
I think it's only going to get worse until like Wednesday afternoon when I leave.
Either punchy or dry.
Amen.
Can't come soon enough. And there was so much to do. Like, I looked at my list of things to do, and it's like my head just fucking exploded.
So we're talking about going down to Emerald City Comic Con.
Woohoo! Yes. Woohoo! Well, Two out of three ain't bad.
There's just way too many people there for me to not basically charged with assault.
It's not for everybody. Yeah. If you're not into people, probably not your thing.
Not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, as in just crowds.
Though. Yeah. It's certainly become worse in the years that I've been going.
It peaked. It's not as bad as it has been.
Oh,
some
you don't
years.
Think?
2 years ago, it was pretty awful.
Oh well, that was the year that they hadn't figured out the lineup situation there yet for the past pickup.
And I don't know. It didn't feel like. Well, I think that was the year they had Patrick Stewart, and everybody hung around on Sunday.
Oh yeah, we left. So we always leave Sunday.
But,
so.
It did feel just more crowded in general. I don't know what changed, but
yeah, because I mean the passes now complete like everything is sold out, including the daytime tickets.
Oh, but it always has. Sometimes
you can get like a day ticket like up to 2 weeks before.
Oh, it hasn't been that way in my recollection for a while.
Oh, really?
But
yeah, the first at least 2 years that we went, you could still buy day tickets like the week leading up to the week before.
I mean, it has been selling out consistently but it doesn't insanely sell out like in a month.
No, the hotels do.
The hotels do.
The close ones.
Yeah.
You can still get tickets for the sea monster discussion at the Vancouver Aquarium for tomorrow night, which will probably be passed by the time this
I was going to say, this podcast is probably not going up tomorrow night.
Yeah.
See? There's always tickets for the aquarium. That's all I'm saying.
And that's a little bit sad. Is it a big thing? Their auditorium or wherever it is that they do the talk?
Not overly. It's like the size of a small theater kind of thing.
Like 80 people?
Well, probably a bit more than that, but not much.
Yeah. I was just curious.
The seats are all very, very vinylized, so I'm not sure if they're like flinging like aqua things through there or something.
It wasn't the day I was there when they were talking about
what a monster coral was. There was originally going to be brood parasites, and instead...
Dale is preparing.
Irishing up the coffee.
Bring it on, man.
I don't have Irish whiskey.
We're taking a break for alcohol. We'll just keep talking over. Oh my God, dude. Seriously?
I told you to say when.
Oh, sorry. I totally missed that.
No, I don't like cream-based alcohol.
Sorry, I missed the when.
I'm
like, is he ever going to stop?
Yeah, so instead of brood parasites, they talked about coral sex, which was pretty awesome.
Coral
sex. I'm sorry. I almost spit my coffee out. Did you just say coral sex?
Yeah. It was last minute.
Corals have sex?
Oh, hell yeah.
They like procreate, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I thought they would procreate in like some, you know, the way pollen procreates.
Is there like coral bondage too? Like they're pretty
coral bondage.
They get it on in all sorts of ways. That's all I can say.
Bondage, coral bondage. Oh dear.
Yeah. Well, we can get into the specific kinks of the just the coral sex.
See? People, this is the kind of day it has been.
Mm. We haven't even started.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, we already talking about kinky
Screw
sex
movies.
With
We're
coral.
We're just talking about disturbing monsters. Oh, we also at the same discussion figured out that Godzilla purrs like a kitten. It could play ice hockey, but only if it's pre-1975 Godzilla, and it would only be in Antarctica. And Godzilla can't actually exist by actual physics and mathematics.
Oh, well, yeah. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, screw physics.
Even
yeah,
exactly. Even pre-1975, Godzilla can't exist.
Okay, so my question is, after this next coming one, the Monsters one, yep. Are there more talks like this?
I'm hoping so, because I'm right into this.
So we're going to link to the Vancouver Aquarium. If you're in town, make sure you like crash their site, because I know you're all listening.
That's pop the terrarium off in the exhibit area and put your hand in with the cocoi frogs and see if you live. So that'll be good.
Are they carnivores?
No, they're deadly poison.
Oh, so, got it.
Yeah. Can I try a segue?
Oh, wait, is this a movie podcast?
Yep. From Japanese monsters to monster cars. The first movie of the month.
Sunday. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
It's the Furious 7.
Yes. Oh, my God, guys.
All right.
Okay, I can't believe that they called this Furious 7. I thought that was just like the short cut, like the what people are calling it, but it's actually the title of the movie.
Seven Samurai. Seven Furia.
Who cares? It's a Fast and Furious movie. There's cars.
You're right. Who cares?
Did you catch the article that came out today? Vin Diesel named his daughter after Paul Walker.
So her name is Paula?
Pauline.
Oh, that's nice. They seemed like really close. I mean, yeah, they've been making movies together since, you know,
I thought it,
the dawn
you know,
of time.
I thought it was kind of nice, but the article didn't mention his wife. It was like Vin Diesel. And I thought, you know, someone did the heavy
baby
lifting
sprung
here.
Forth whole from his
that's
head,
right.
Just and like Zeus and
no,
Athena.
No mention of adoption, so.
Oh, that's touching.
Yeah.
That's touching. It's, I mean, it is like one of the things I really like about this franchise is that the camaraderie that the cast has behind the scenes certainly comes through on screen.
Was this his last movie or?
Yes, he. Well, I don't know if it was his last. Well, he died in the middle of shooting it.
Right.
So he didn't actually finish. They all halted production. I think it was supposed to be coming out last year. They halted production. They kind of went back and I don't know if they rejigged the script. I can't remember exactly what the final thing was, but they brought a bunch of his brothers on to like sort of stand in at some of the scenes. I don't know how much of it they shot. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It screened. It had its world premiere at South by Southwest and everybody went fucking insane. I'm like, you know what? It's a Fast and Furious movie. They're always fucking awesome. Just, you know, except for number two, they're always awesome.
Yeah, that's your opinion, right? We had this discussion.
We did have this discussion. So everybody is back. Well, you know, generally speaking, everybody that you've seen in the last three movies is back. They've added Jason Statham, Kurt Russell, and I'm fucking pissed off because I had this discussion with somebody else the other day. They're like, I thought it was a joke when they're like Lucas Black. It is Lucas, right?
Lucas Black?
Yeah, Lucas Black. Yeah, from American Gothic or whatever that show used to be called.
Shit.
Yeah, that kid. He's all grown up now. He was in Tokyo Drift, which is the third one, which is the one I really like. And we had this, because everybody's like, oh yeah, he's back. I'm like, no, he's not. He is nowhere in the cast listing. He is in none of the promotional material. I'm like, you fucking fail at life, Fast and Furious franchise. You didn't tell me Lucas Black was back. I'm very excited.
He is in the cast credit.
He
now.
Is in the cast credit. Yeah. But like he hasn't been on any of the promo materials. He's not in any posters. He isn't in the trailer. It's like, yeah, he's here, but we're not going to tell anyone because nobody likes number three. I don't know. Seriously?
Or maybe he's just leaning up against the car in a drag race scene.
Don't fucking care. He's back. He has rejoined the family. As you can tell, I'm quite excited. I have no idea what it's about. Revenge, obviously,
yeah,
because people got killed the last one. Do we really care?
Hard
cars.
I think
seriously,
hard pass.
I think this is one of those movies where yeah, you really don't need to know.
No, you go because you either like it or you skip it.
I swear, like I said this before six, but before seven,
we're actually gonna do this. You're gonna do this.
I'm gonna see at least a couple. I'm kind of interested in.
So one. Three.
I'm gonna tough it through two. I have to have an opinion.
Is it like Star Trek where it's like the odd ones?
Actually, I was just thinking, you know, actually four, five, and six have been really good. But yeah, if you actually look at it, I think the odd numbers are way better than the even numbers. So like 1, 3, 5, 6 was good, but like they're all pretty good after three. For me, the only one in the bunch that's a dud is two. but.
And I know some other people I've talked to. Three is the Tokyo Drift.
I totally understand why people don't like three. I think my experience.
You just think they're wrong.
I just think they're not wrong because I think they went in expecting Fast and Furious 2, but I didn't like the second one. And so I'm like, for me, it's anything would have been better than number two. All of a sudden you have an entirely different cast. Like there's only like one return character. Well, spoiler alert, Vin Diesel comes back in the end, but you didn't know that when we went in. So, I mean, seriously, like, nobody's back. It's all just like, it's totally new, different place, different cars.
Now, I should be pissed off because having said that, I was just going to rewatch them.
Fuck me, I'm sorry.
Spoiled, but that's okay.
Did you not know that yet?
No. But that's okay. Like,
everyone dies.
I am okay. Like, if a movie has been out for more than 2 years.
How many years has that
been
out?
There's no such thing as, like, yeah,
it's been at least four, right?
In fact, if a movie's been out for a year, I figure.
Still, I could have. I wasn't thinking.
No,
sorry,
I'm not. I'm just shitting you. Yeah,
you suck. But no, see them. At least see them, yeah. See the first three, if nothing else. And maybe the latest one, so you kind of know where you are in the story. You have to at least watch six.
I'm kind of debating whether I want to try and watch seven without? To see what it would be like without the other ones or get the background on it.
So you're thinking like people are going to go into seven not having watched any Fast and Furious movie?
Some people.
Would that be possible?
Some people.
My mom might.
But your mom is like in this new bracket of... You know, I go
it's
to the movies.
It's Tuesday cheap night. What's yeah. going on?
What's well, new? I haven't seen
Vin
yet.
Vin Diesel. He sure looks cute.
Yeah.
He's baldy, but he's cute.
Actually, it'd be Paul cars? Walker, wouldn't it?
Probably. Well, Jason Statham.
Well,
Kurt
Statham.
Russell.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell. Even Kurt Russell doesn't, you know.
No, because I know it's not The Thing, and I know it's not Big Trouble in Little China,
that
and I
true.
Know it's not Overboard. And even that would be better than the Furious franchise.
As excited as I am for this movie, because as you can tell, I'm very excited for this movie. There is another movie coming out this month that I'm even more excited for, but we'll get there in a second. So that's April 3rd. Great segue, Dale. Furious 7. Also opening the counter-programming that your mom will probably love.
Yes.
And actually, I'm kind of excited for this one.
Too. And
me. Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm looking forward to this one. Woman in Gold. Simon Curtis directs a great cast, including Helen Mirren as a, is she?
Dowager? Would that be
a... I think so. She was she's a Jewish refugee who's living in the States.
Yeah.
She's in the States now, right? And her aunt was the subject of The Kiss, the painting, The Kiss.
Not The Kiss, but
wasn't
a different
it?
One.
Woman yeah. in Gold, isn't it?
Oh, that's oh what maybe the, that is the one.
The name of the
Clint
film.
Did a lot that looked very similar kind of thing,
it
but
was just
hers
the
is
I got
just
confused.
The woman in the picture.
Yeah, and so it was taken during the war. She wants to get the painting back, so like the whole drama is about getting the painting back. And of course, we have flashbacks with the great Tatiana Maslany playing Miss
yeah,
Lanyan
that
as
was...
a young woman.
I hadn't read the cast list when I was watching the trailer, and I'm like, oh, who is that? Who is that?
It's
and then
the
I
cats.
Read the credits, and it's like, yeah. awesome.
She's great.
Of course, I don't know. I so associate her now with Orphan Black that
yep.
I just clone jokes start going through my head. I cannot help myself.
Clone Club.
But Ryan Reynolds, this looks like
yes.
it could be like bringing back some credibility.
You know, Ryan Reynolds is on a streak right now. Because, I mean, he's got...
Can he leave some roles for other people?
No.
Damn.
Unfortunately, apparently okay. not.
No, because he seems to be taking all of them.
Yeah, he seems to be in everything. Like, he's got two movies coming out this month. He's in the other one, right?
I think so.
He's in one other one.
Yeah.
I just watched The Voices, which he's really good in, and you would love that movie.
I'm not saying he's not good.
No,
I just
but
say
you
there's
would,
plenty of
well,
other
you
actors
need to write this
that
down.
Are having a hard time actually
down,
filling in
you
their
need
mortgage.
To write down that. Well, okay, but I didn't even see that, so it's easy for me to avoid it. The Voices, yeah, good job. You want to see that, like,
okay.
pronto. So, yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all on board. Hell, you know what? There's a little slice of Nazis and World War II.
I should have known.
And it's not actually in trench warfare, so you know I'm all about that.
Sweetness. I'm actually, this I had no idea it was coming out. 5 to 7, directed by Victor Levin. I kind of love this. I looked at him like, well, I got to see this. It's Anton Yelchin. I'm a big fan of this kid.
I love that kid.
Don't know what to think of this one, actually.
Really?
I'm really curious about it. But
Yeah, it kind of feels like a throwback, like 70s romance for some reason. I don't know.
It like was really intriguing, and there was like some great acting, but it might be it's just a trailer, but the movie didn't feel like it had enough interest to do like a one hit joke kind of thing.
Oh really?
Like I thought for an hour and a half, I wasn't sure.
I thought it looked a little better than that. But mind you, I'm totally biased. Anthony Yelchin, I'll pretty much watch anything.
Yeah.
I'm sold on that kid. I don't know why, but
yeah, much like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Just him being in something makes me
enough
go,
for me.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
So he plays a writer who is having an affair with a French woman who is still married, and her husband has a girl on the side as well.
Well, that it's the great, I don't know how true it is, but the great French stereotype of mistresses are quite fine, and so husband and the wife are quite open about having their balances.
He can only
see her from five o'clock to seven, which is the title. Yeah,
yeah. And there's this great little quip in the trailer where the French have a name for that, 5 to 7, because apparently the French have a name for that. I didn't know. It might just be a joke in the trailer.
The afternoon delight.
I guess I don't
know. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it looked charming, and
I think the joke was the French book time for that.
Yes, I think it's something like that. I just thought, oh, that's charming. I don't know. I thought it looked kind of
Le
fun.
Le petit mange, small meal,
as opposed to the petite death.
I could get down with that.
Also opening on the 3rd, Lambert and Stamp. Okay, this looks freaking awesome.
This looks really interesting.
So Lambert and Stamp, I guess, is they're the two guys, Chris Stamp and Kit Lambert, who were filmmakers in, I guess, the 70s? 50s, 60s. I don't know when the Who dates back to. They were trying to make a movie. They decide the best way to do this is to find like some unknown band that they can like shape to lead their movie. They find the Who.
And they become kingmakers.
Pretty much. Totally by accident, they end up managing like the biggest band in the UK. And, you know, arguably the world at the time.
And it's rock and roll, so there's controversy.
Yeah, definitely. I think this looks great.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. Yeah.
I didn't see the trailer for this. This is one of the ones missing, but you've sold me. It's the Who. I love The Who. I love Mr. Entwistle.
Also opening on the 3rd, Effie Gray, the dramatized account of the real-life weird marriage between art critic John Ruskin and his teen bride. She was like 17 or 18 or something. Written by Emma Thompson, starring Miss Emma Thompson, along with Dakota Fanning.
I am a big Emma Thompson fan, and this did nothing for me at all.
Well, the reviews haven't been particularly kind to it. It's a period piece. It's Emma Thompson. Sold.
The big glazed donut of indifference over here.
Not surprising. I wasn't sure even the costuming could do it for you.
Glazed donut sounds way more interesting than this movie.
Actually, if there was a giant glazed donut in the film and it sort of had like a subplot about the giant glazed donut, I'd probably be more into it.
Yeah, I don't think that kind of art came along for a little while.
Few years removed. Moving on to April the 10th, the busiest week, I think. Is this or maybe the
biggest week for the longest ride? Dun dun dun.
Ba-dum, boom.
The longest
Do
ride.
I have to start bringing my drum kit here?
I'm sorry. Now I'm thinking of the longest yard. I think he broke his fucking nose.
I can't believe I just did
sorry.
That. Oh, we're so all over the board. It's great.
Now I'm thinking of Princess Bride.
These are the best shows. I love them. So yes, April 10th, The Longest Ride, based on a Nicholas Sparks novel.
God, this trailer was flat.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have no chemistry.
I have absolutely no cares whatsoever whether either of these people live or die.
So Sparks must be like a cajillionaire from all the stuff he's...
Oh, all the movies, all the books. He sells millions of books every time he puts a new book out, and he must publish like 2 or 3
what
a
is this,
year.
Like what movie, how many movies have been made from his books now?
A lot. The only really good ones are the Lassie Hallström ones. When is he coming back? Damn it. These were like my candy. Now they're just land.
Yeah.
Ugh. Eh.
Yeah, I'm going to go see this one only because, you know, I got an invite. Do you want to go, Dale? I'm assuming not.
No.
I'm going to have to find a different date. God damn it.
You can't trick me.
I know. Damn it, eh? Oh, the sadness. Yeah, I just don't know. It's about, like, she's a girl. She falls in love with a cowboy. He could possibly die if he rides again. She's trying to save
his
life.
Please ride again.
Yeah, it's your typical Nicholas Sparks story, you know? There's romance and there's drama and then ends happily ever after.
Melodrama.
Oh, yeah, total melodrama. But that's like a given in a Nicholas Sparks.
Okay.
But the thing with me is like usually there's like a little bit of spark. There's like nothing here.
Okay. So this is like some of those like kid shows where.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got its audience.
Yep.
More power to them. They're getting what they want.
Yeah. Even if I wasn't seeing it, I'd end up watching it at some point because I always end up watching these anyways.
I shouldn't talk. I've gotten hooked on The Good Witch. Which is a Lifetime Channel thing.
Oh,
which
God.
This shouldn't
have.
This
Catherine
would be,
Bell.
I have a crush on Catherine Bell. Okay. Sorry.
Catherine Bell.
Yeah.
From JAG.
Oh, I don't know who she
it's
is.
It's the only reason I know who it is.
Yeah. Oh, because you watched JAG?
Well, it was a military thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know. I'm clueless.
It's about the only reason why I watch NCIS. It's like, hey, they're on a military base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are hilarious.
Jet aircraft
and here I thought I had problems.
I'm waiting for the submarine episode this season. Come on.
Oh, okay, I don't feel so bad about my bad TV watching now. Yeah. Okay, the movie that I'm way more excited about than anything else month, Ex Machina.
Looks pretty damn solid.
And
a cast of actors that I have never heard of before.
Really?
Really?
They're not super ace. They're not A-list.
Okay.
At least I don't consider them A-list.
Well, I think the least known of the bunch is probably Alicia Vikander, who's I believe she's German, and she's been
Swedish.
Swedish. I know she's like of European. I actually thought she was German. I didn't realize she was Swedish.
I have seen her
in a couple of films in supporting roles. Only because, you know, I go to film festivals.
Sweden.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac is the only one that I recognize.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson, who's been in a couple of things the last couple of years, and he's going to be in the new Star Wars movie.
Meh.
Pretty much. So the most exciting thing for me about this one, when people started talking about it, was the fact that it was written and directed by Alex Garland, who's written quite a few of the movies that I've really, really liked the last couple of years. 28 Days Later, Sunshine, and Dread, which were like three of my like highlights in the last like decade as far as sci-fi is concerned. So right off the bat, it's like he's making a movie. He's actually directing. Sign me up. And then it turned out to be like really fucking awesome. So cool. It's basically a Turing test.
This movie has all the kinds of themes that mm-hmm. I'm really interested in. If you're going to like do the whole mind fuck,
mm-hmm.
this is the way I like to see it. Where, you know, the machine, is she really thinking? Is she just playing you? Is it real emotions? Mm-hmm. And other people have other motives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a really like spiffy looking movie. Like the trailers are something else. Like it's a nice looking piece of work. Mm-hmm. I'm very, 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 very excited. Can't wait. That's why I was surprised that like when we looked at the April 10th, I'm like, I know this movie's coming. What do you mean you're telling me that it's not coming? Did they change the date?
We had a little thing with IMDb where it lost all the April movies and it kind of messed stuff up.
It's like somebody like decided, oh well, they're recording today. Let's fuck up the database.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only 10 movies coming out in April. Yeah. No, this can't be right. Yeah,
exactly. And you don't even have the biggest one. Damn you. Moving on. Also opening on the 10th, based on a true story. Dramatic true story. Desert Dancer. Sorry.
I thought you would be all over this.
I actually am looking forward to this. I probably won't see it theatrically. But
I would watch it on Netflix for one very specific reason.
Camels?
Two very specific reasons.
I don't actually know if I didn't see any camels see in that.
There might be camels. That would be a bonus. But the whole Iranian sort of like desert scape that eventually they end up in, mm-hmm. I love looking at shots of that. And it's possible that it is cinematic. cinematography
will be beautiful.
Of that area would be breathtaking, and I wouldn't mind sitting through all the other shite to possibly see a good dramatic
dance movie.
It's
with
a dramatic
a positive
dance,
message.
But there were some hints of like humor and not taking itself too seriously too. Like I might actually watch this outside the theater. I don't think I would ever go to a theatrical performance, but
yeah, I'd be hard pressed to seek out a theater to check this one out. But I'm definitely curious. Okay.
You know, it's very clearly serving as a metaphor, you know, for the whole freedom thing, and they're quite overt on that. And that's the thing, actually, that turned me off a little bit.
On the nose.
They seem like they were laying it on a bit thick.
Yeah. So the story is about a young man, Afshin Garafian, who is a dancer, an Iranian dancer, who escaped, I guess, just before the revolution or maybe years before the revolution. The timeline doesn't really say.
I didn't quite get the timeline.
No, neither did I.
But dancing was already outlawed.
Yeah, dancing was outlawed when he was growing up. And so he basically, he and some friends started like this underground dance company. And he escapes out of Iran and then goes back, it looks like. I'm not 100% sure of the details, but it certainly looks beautiful, like you say, Colleen. I think it certainly has a potential to look really great.
So listen up, all you filmmakers that listen to our podcast religiously. Gratuitous camel shot, preferably Bactrian over dromedary, will get you an added little bonus for me.
Nice. Colleen will definitely watch. That's even right. If not theatrically. Also opening on the 10th.
I will BitTorrent your film.
We do not endorse illegal downloading on this podcast.
Colleen does that, not on my network.
No.
That's right.
I don't even do that.
See, there you go. Also opening on the 10th.
Lazy more than ethics.
Clouds of Sils Maria, Olivier Assayas's film with Juliette Binoche and Kristen Stewart. Binoche plays an actress. It's a very convoluted little storyline.
Yeah.
She's an actress who's playing a role in a play that's actually being turned into a movie, where she's being asked to play the role of the older woman, but the role of the younger woman is how she got her start to begin with in her career. Kristen Stewart's her assistant, who's sort of like helping her through the role. She happens to be her assistant through this period. It's a really fascinating movie about like acting and preparation and relationships, and there might be some like romantic things happening. Like
then you're
kind of
missing Chloe Grace Moretz.
She's barely in the movie.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she plays sort of a role towards the end. It's an actress's movie. It's great. Like all the roles are, you know, pretty
well, the,
good.
Yeah. The thing the trailer is leading you towards is that art starts to imitate, mm-hmm. or life starts to imitate art.
A little bit, yeah.
With the main character, Juliette Binoche, kind of getting into a nasty mental cycle and
mm-hmm.
having a breakdown or something.
A little bit. And I mean, Kristen Stewart won a Caesar for her performance, the first American female to ever win a Caesar, which is like...
Oh, was that for this?
What is a Caesar?
It was for this. It's the French... it's France's version of the Oscars.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
Yeah, so she...
Well, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, Best Supporting Actress. I mean, the performances are really great. I like most of the movie. The performances are fantastic, and I like the interaction between the actresses. It's just... It has, like, too many endings, and... I didn't love it.
Too clever for its own good?
Yeah, a little. But I mean, I still think it's worth seeing. Like, the performances are really, really solid. Really, really solid. So that's Clouds of Sils Maria. And also opening on the 10th, you guys can speak to this because I haven't seen it, Kill Me Three Times.
Oh, loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
Adored it. And it's not just because Simon Pegg is awesome. I kind of like the dark humor throughout the whole thing.
Simon Pegg.
A detective slash...
Simon Pegg plays a hitman in Australia.
That's kind of what I got.
Yeah.
And the thing I really liked about the movie was it had a darkness to it in a very kind of light setting.
So he plays a hitman who's trying to take out somebody... And then it turns out like somebody else is trying to take out that same person.
It's a convoluted story.
Yeah, it looks hilarious.
But
the trailer looks
pretty
funny.
And it's easy enough to follow.
Yeah.
He gets paid to do a job. And
so is Sils Maria. It just sounds convoluted when you say it.
Via circumstances, his job is not probably nearly as difficult as it should be.
And the other thing about the film that is really
nice
is...
And I don't want to give anything more away.
It's somewhat subversive. You know, it's like in this small little community where everyone's supposed to be happy and there's this undercurrent of people hiring hitmen.
I love his mustache in this movie.
It is pretty damn sweet.
The mustache is pretty damn sweet. Did you see the new Mission Impossible 5 trailer?
Yeah, I did.
Fuck yeah, man.
Wish it wasn't Tom Cruise.
Oh, so good. I am seriously more excited for that than a Bond movie. Like, Bond is just not my thing. Mission Impossible? Tom Cruise? Yeah.
I have a complicated relationship with Mission Impossible.
No, I never watched the TV show. So
I loathe Tom Cruise, generally speaking, in pretty much everything. So
that's good.
Yeah, I just wish you
water off your back. Just let it just
sort of become one with those little energy cubes or something that
let him become one with whatever the fuck he believes in. I don't give a shit.
And move on.
As long as he keeps making movies that I like. Yeah.
No thanks.
To each his own.
I'll pass.
I like Tom Cruise.
Hard pass.
I sidelined us. Sorry. April 17th, the other Ryan Reynolds movie, Selfless. Shitty title. Fuck me.
Yeah, bad title.
Directed by Tarsem. Yeah.
This one looks really interesting, too.
So this is kind of a ripoff of a couple of other movies that we've already seen.
Was there a German one?
Transfer, which is on Netflix, and I highly recommend
that film. This is such a classic. Like, I have read many versions of this in sci-fi novels
growing up. The thing is, the German film...
And maybe even a Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this has definitely been treaded territory. The funny thing is that the German film that Colleen mentions... This is almost like, I'm surprised they don't say in the credits that it's a remake.
Oh.
Because it's very, very similar. In the German one, it's like an old couple that hires a young couple to sort of, they live their lives through them.
Yeah, we should describe what the movie
is
about.
Yeah, so the movie is, what's his name? The old guy.
Oh, played Gandhi.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't remember. It's not on the cast.
Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley is this really rich business guy. He's dying. So Matthew Good, who runs this shady company, new tech, you can transfer your subconscious to this new young body.
Your brain to this new young body.
And then, he does the transfer, everything's fine and good. And then, partway through, the flashes of the original, the body, the memories of the original body owner start to emerge.
And the body wasn't really a vegetable.
Yeah. And this is like pretty much the exact same thing that happens in this German film, except in the German film, the people that are playing volunteer, they're actually volunteers. Like, they're doing it for money.
Oh,
but there's like some drugs that they take to like subdue their consciousness.
It doesn't fully take, blah, blah, blah.
It's a real transfer is really, really good. I'll link to it because it's fantastic.
I love that film. That was pretty
highly,
damn awesome.
Highly recommended. I love this cast. I love Matthew Good. I love Tarsem.
If I could choose any voice in the world, he would be number two.
Oh, man.
Mark Strong would be number one. But he would be number two.
Yeah, Matthew Good, man. Oh.
Voice?
Voice and demeanor.
Check out James Darcy, man. Apparently, he's on Broadchurch season 2. I need to fix my Broadchurch behind the scenes because I haven't seen any of that yet.
I enjoyed Broadchurch season 2.
Yeah. Apparently, he's the bad guy. I haven't seen him. I don't know.
Oh, he was the dude that played Jeeves on Agent Carter.
Yes.
Yeah. That guy is seriously a good actor.
James Darcy. He's amazing.
The difference between his two roles, I was blown away.
Yeah, I've seen him in a couple of things. Yeah, I've seen him in a couple of things, and he's always really, really good. And yeah, we had a Twitter discussion about this the other day. It was not good. bad pictures. Okay, so that's Selfless. So are we all on board with this one, or just Dale and I? Colleen, where do you fall on Selfless?
I think I'm going to pass and maybe rewatch The German.
Okay. Anything specific that you don't like about this?
I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me. I watched the trailer and went,
I've seen this movie.
I've seen this. I have seen this better than this. So why do I want to watch this?
I don't know. I think this could be okay. And I generally speak.
Plus, it's Gandhi.
Like movies.
It is literally Gandhi. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ben Kingsley. You are Gandhi.
Mostly Ryan Reynolds.
put a different hat on, put a different suit on, lose the diaper kind of thing, you're still Gandhi.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, you for all time are Gandhi.
The premise works for me. I whether or not the movie will fulfill the promise, I have no idea, but the premise works.
Yeah, I'm
hopeful. I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Also opening on the 17th, Unfriended, another social media horror movie. This one about
yeah.
bunch of kids that are like...
kind of found footage-y.
Yeah, bunch of kids that are being like... murdered or chased down or something.
Some girl dies and she starts to exact revenge through social media.
It's
yeah.
a premise, not a story.
Yeah,
and I like stories over premises.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm vaguely interested, but only because
not my kind of movie yeah. at all.
It's a horror movie.
They've Maybe. Found a way of basically making little horror vignettes and strong-arming it into a.
Yeah,
I
think this is a movie, like, when you watch the trailer, you'll either be interested or not.
Or not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is what yeah. it is.
No story, no curious. Interest, really.
It's only, like, an hour and 20 minutes long, so how bad could it get? don't answer that.
Yeah.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Feel-good film of 2015.
Enough said.
Yeah. Wow, they made a sequel.
The one
Ram
thing, the one thing that I'll
in
say
my eyes to prevent myself from seeing the trailer again.
So Kevin, what is it?
Kevin James.
Kevin James reprises his role as Paul Blart. Only he's in Vegas.
He has been funny, you know. I used to watch King of Queens because Kevin James was fucking funny. What happened?
Yeah.
That's all I want.
His brand of humor has
money,
never
money,
been
money,
my
money.
Thing. But I'll say this for. So Andy Finkman,
he's in two movies this month.
I didn't get a chance to really look at him as a director, but
She's the Man, Race to Witch Mountain, Parental
oh,
Guidance.
Wow. So, yeah. I got hooked on going through every frame of picture, which is a great video series mm-hmm. on Vimeo, and he did this thing on comedy, talking about how. Films are missing the boat with comedy, and he talked about who did the Cornetto series?
Oh, that's
Edgar Wright. He compared Edgar Wright to a lot of other comedies and talked about like the visuals and like Wright's brilliant use of visuals compared to a lot of others. And as I'm watching the trailer, I'm suddenly realizing, like, for all the bad things you can say about Paul Blart, he really did, like, they do incorporate a lot more visual than a lot of other comedy. I mean, having said all of that, I'm still not interested. But I just found that really interesting.
I know that you're a big fan of Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, my God. The world's greatest romantic comedy of
all
time.
We'll link to the video. People should watch this
video. So how do you guys feel fall on the other two movies in that trilogy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I very much like Hot Fuzz.
I enjoyed Hot Fuzz.
Brilliant kind of thing. And the fact that Timothy Dalton was in it just bumped it up to another level because... That guy's hilarious.
There are
it's
some
unintentionally
scenes in Hot Fuzz
hilarious.
That I love.
Yes.
By
the power of Grayskull.
World's
Sorry.
End is... It's okay. I liked it. I enjoyed it kind of
I
thing. But
like
it. Not,
no.
not greatly so kind of thing. Honestly, I prefer Paul to it, which also... It's not an Edgar Wright film, I don't think, but it includes Sean and...
Simon.
What's his face? Simon Pegg and Nick Frost kind of thing, and an alien. And I like that one a lot more than World's End, but honestly, I'm fine with it. Anytime you want to get... Oh.
We have like serious action going on here.
Fire truck outside.
Well, that's the fire bell that we've been hearing. Sorry.
There's been a fire bell going?
Yeah, not in here, but it's definitely nearby. There are flashing lights and everything.
I can't
people.
Hear
there
nothing.
Is high drama unfolding outside the studio.
So now you can't hear any of it because it's actually directional mics and that, but we just mentioned it.
Yep. It's there. Just trust us.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's getting like kind of weird now.
Sweet.
Dale is investigating.
Any excuse to basically have Simon Pegg and Nick Frost work together, I'm all on board. Like whether it works or not, I just love those guys dynamic.
Yeah, for me I kind of fall on the I mean I like Shaun of the Dead. I think it's funny in parts. I don't love it from beginning to end.
I love every second of that film.
I know you do. And I like, there are moments in Hot Fuzz with which I think is just total genius. I just don't really get the rest of it.
Humor is probably the most objective sort of like genre there is, because either it appeals to that weird little sense of humor you have, everyone has one, or it doesn't.
Hot Rod. I don't know why.
I will never comprehend your love of Andy Samberg. It just boggles my mind.
Yes! High five that shit! I found another lover. Dan, like, whenever I'm like, he's like, oh, what do you want to watch? I'm like, Hot Rod. When we're needing a comedy, and he shakes his head. He just does not understand.
Get that.
He doesn't understand the awesomeness of Hot Rod.
That said, for whatever reason, Pitch Perfect, I've watched like 37 times.
So are you going to watch the sequel?
Yes.
The pitches are back.
Probably.
Oh my God. Can we go to the movies with Colleen when she goes to see Pitch Perfect?
That would be fun.
Can we please do a date night? I've never squealed. I just but watched still. It. Went, wow, I need to watch that again. Click. But there's real emotional.
Can we please come with you?
Fine.
Yes. Please let it be a sing along. Please let it be a sing along. also opening on April the 17th.
No.
Oh, not for you. For me. So that you have to listen to us sing along. It'll be terrible.
Oh, good God.
I know it's great.
I get enough bad singing in my band.
Okay, also on the 17th, Child 44 from The Man That Brought a Safe House.
I kind of like this.
Tom Hardy, Joel Kinnaman, Namir Abbas, Gary Oldman, and really bad Russian accents.
Yeah.
Dead children, intrigue, Russia, I'm on board.
And really, really, really terrible Russian accents.
Exactly.
So bad that... Like, when the trailer started, I was baffled. I'm like, oh my God, British people trying to do Russian accents.
Duh.
Wow, this is bad. Like, I don't think I've seen a movie where, like who? Why would anybody make this decision?
That's the charm.
I'm trying to remember, how bad was Anna Karenina?
I don't remember Russian accents. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, like the Joe Wright one, I think they just went like British accent all the way.
Yep.
Because everybody was British anyways. Like, it's been a really long time since I've seen like a mainstream movie doing Russian with really bad Russian accents instead of just like playing it straight and pretending that everybody just assumes that it's Russian anyways. Like Valkyrie, the Tom Cruise one, where, you know, it's German. Nobody talks with German accents. Well, just American. Who the fuck cares? You get the picture. The Russian accents are terrible. It's one of the reasons why I totally want to watch this movie, because I'm just baffled that this would make, like, a mainstream movie would have this.
I thought it was entertaining as hell.
Oh, yeah, I know. I totally agree.
I'm like, yes.
I totally agree. And come on, it's Gary Oldman.
Dark,
pretty much
Russian,
anything.
Unintentionally funny.
Yes.
Children dead.
Oh, I'm dude. In. Okay, maybe not. Quite like that.
Yeah, have fun, everyone.
Dale is still not in.
I'm not in. I'm sorry.
I think
but then call... again, like, I like shows about hunting children too. So children hunting children is the best.
Yeah,
about 100.
This one is a hunt for a serial killer who happens to be a high party official. But
that's right.
Half measures. That's okay.
I don't know. It's Joel Kinnaman and Gary Oldman. And I actually really liked Safe House, so it'll at least look interesting. I still the Russian accents just kill me. Kill me every time I see that trailer. Also opening on the 17th. Okay, this is the really long week. Monkey Kingdom.
Pass.
Disney Nature. Yeah, hard pass.
I despise when they try to shoehorn dialogue and storytelling into animals.
But it's narrated by Tina Fey, man.
I don't care.
Yeah, neither do I. Also opening on the 17th. True Story. James Franco, Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill plays like a reporter.
Yeah, a killer uses a reporter's name as an alias and gets caught, and then the reporter
gets
drawn
into
the story. Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't get a spark off of this. Not the trailer.
No,
the story doesn't sound inherently interesting enough.
Oh, see, I think the story sounds interesting, and I kind of like these. I mean, I really like this cast, but the trailer is very sort of flat. There isn't a lot of spark in any direction.
But it was more than that. Like, the premise of the story was, I didn't see enough kind of innate drama in the whole thing to spark my interest.
Yeah, I like the concept. And I mean, James Franco being serious. Ooh. Because, you know, we haven't seen enough of that. But no, more than anything, what really caught my attention about this was the story itself. I like the story. And I think it may actually be based on a true story. I don't know.
I think it, yeah. I mean, aside from the title, I think somewhere in there it was based on it, Well, just a sec.
Yeah, you look it up. Because, I'm surprised that, well, I'm not really surprised that I haven't heard of it, because I'm not really, I don't keep up to date with, like, true stories that make the national headlines. Unless it's the Jinx. And then I can't help myself, because it's just fucking weird.
Okay.
Have you not been watching that?
No.
The HBO documentary that, like, basically led to this guy being arrested for murders he committed a bunch of years ago.
Oh, I heard an article on that, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, Dale is still looking it up. Can we move on while you look it up?
Move on, yeah. I don't think it's that important.
Also opening on the 17th, Alex of Venice. Actor turned director Chris Messina directs this one. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I really, really like, plays this woman who thinks she's got it all together. Stay-at-home husband, good job, nice family. And then her husband leaves her and she's thrown into a tailspin. We've seen the story before, nothing new. I actually think this looks okay, mostly because I like this cast as well. Okay, I'm really into that this month, apparently. All about the cast.
I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit too drama-lama for me.
You know, the trailer doesn't really work either, actually, I thought. But I do really like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, so I'm curious about it just for her. But yeah, could go either way. Another sort of meddling thriller, Beyond the Reach. Michael Douglas, Jeremy Irvine star. Michael Douglas is like some high-powered something or other who goes on a hunting trip in the desert with some kid and then shoots a guy. And
the motivation for this story just did not work for me.
It, you know, part of me wants to watch it because once again, it's going to be beautiful desert landscapes. It has the possibility of just being kind of stunning if they shoot it right. That said, high corporate, top of the ladder, in the middle of a desert, who's like with someone who's expendable, isn't going to hesitate and not put a bullet in their head rather than torture them.
So in the trailer that I watched, they set the story up by having this guy not want to go in on a little conspiracy, something or other, with the Michael Douglas character. So the Michael Douglas character, rather than just killing him, is going to just let him die in the desert.
No.
And he has to, like...
But he's going to watch.
Has to stop him from doing anything that might save his life.
It's stupid.
And I'm watching this and I'm going, I'm tired of this premise in, like, 45 seconds of this trailer. Like,
no.
I'm not going to sit through a whole movie.
Yeah, it doesn't look particularly good, which is disappointing because I really like Jeremy Irvine, the kid. He was in The Railway Man. He was basically the central character in that because most of the movie takes place in sort of flashback. And he was really, really great in it. So I want to see more of him, but just not here. Not a fan.
Yeah, it seemed to me... I mean, it's not like Kirk Douglas is any slouch either. It seemed to me like kind of a waste.
You mean Michael Douglas.
Or Michael Douglas, sorry.
Yeah.
His father wasn't either, but yeah.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. It just seems like a total waste of two really talented actors. So, I don't know. I wonder how much they got paid. I'm assuming that's the only reason either of them are involved. Or it sounded really great on paper.
Maybe it sounded really great on paper.
Yeah. So, the next one, I'm a little bit confused by this because I'm just looking at the rating and it just blows my fucking mind. So, Felix and Mara, a French-Canadian film by a really talented Quebec director named Maxime Giroux. It's about a woman who is, she is in a, Jewish, is it Orthodox? Like when you're like really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's.
Or Hasidic?
Hasidic. Thank you. That's the word. So yes, she's married into this. I think she may have been born into the Hasidic Jew community I'm not 100% sure where they are. I think it might be Montreal. But she's really unhappy and she's breaking the rules all the time. And then she meets this guy, kind of, you know, They have a little thing. It doesn't really turn into anything, but maybe it does. So the movie is very much about like this woman that's like, they're both trying to find themselves. It's really sweet, really beautiful, has some great moments. I don't know why this is rated G. Admittedly, there's like no sex and no kissing even. But dude, the subject matter is freaking dark. Like, I don't know. Like thematically, it's at least a PG-13. Okay. You're looking.
Oh, where am I looking?
Oh, what the flashing lights went away.
It says G right to the left of the time.
Yeah,
stamp.
but on the website now
it says something else.
It says R.
Oh, that makes way better sense.
Yeah, you're right. The No, they changed that. Oh, I think Jesus. IMDb is like on
crack. Because because I was just looking. I'm like, wow, I just realized that they rated that as G. Okay, so there's nothing there, but. Thematically, yeah, see? That's funny. My print says G.
Don't trust IMDb, G. Boys and girls.
Like, we didn't already know that, but really, that's kind of ridiculous. I really like the film a lot. It's certainly not for everyone. He's a very... it's not that the movie is slow, but the scenes are long.
I found the trailer really opaque. Like, I just had a hard time keeping focused. Through the whole thing. So
I didn't watch your trailer.
Your description told me more about them. Like, I'm a little bit interested in it now. I was totally not.
Yeah, his first film is a little bit like that, too. It was a bit of a genre bender. It was pretty dark. This one is a little lighter, though not by much thematically. It's a really, really interesting relationship drama, which I really liked. I'd highly recommend it. Also opening on the 17th, the movie that just a couple of weeks ago I was going, when the fuck is that movie opening? Apparently it's opening this month. That would be Monsters, Dark Continent, the semi-sequel. Well, it is definitely a sequel to Monsters, though directed by a different director, Tom Green, who is best known for his work on The Misfits, the latter part of the first season and the second season.
Was that the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was he the one that killed off all the...
social workers?
Social workers, yeah. Ad nauseum?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Pretty much.
I'm in.
Yeah, no, I... The trailer is gorgeous. I mean, the story takes place pretty much after the events of the first movie. Did I even read the description?
You know what I worry about this one compared to the first? Because if I remember correctly, I very much liked... Yeah. It wasn't until really the very end that you even caught glimpses of it. And there seems to be way more monster in this.
Well, I think part of the...
Budget?
That's definitely like the big factor, right? Is the first one had like zero budget.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like about the first Monsters movie is I fucking hated the two leads.
True enough.
Like the story, I could get behind the concept. I liked the idea of not seeing the monsters. The two leads grated on me to the point where I was ready to throw something at the screen.
There was nothing lovable about the characters
And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't need to like the leads, but they just grated on me to the point where like I really just wanted to turn it off. Yeah. But I'm like, there are monsters coming.
That was the failing. That was the failing of it. Like, other than that, pretty much everything about that film I loved.
Totally agree. And this one, I mean, it looks good. I can't really bring myself to say anything else.
I'm going to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I just got the sense from it that you needed to see the first one to get context for the second. It was like all action and...
Yeah, it does look like this one is very much like we've got a little bit of money. Let's just show lots of monsters and have lots of action.
Fight the monsters.
Pretty much.
Rather than run away from the monsters in the woods.
Yeah. I mean, I think on a movie making level, the first one is probably better because smaller budgets usually make you be a little more creative. And it's monsters really like does well from that. This one just looks like, oh, we got more money. Let's give them lots of monsters. It looks okay. I mean, I'll totally still watch it, but yeah, I'm not expecting too much. Also on the 17th, a movie that I hadn't seen anything about, and all of a sudden I'm kind of curious. The Deadlands. I guess it's a period piece.
You know what this reminded me of? It like a New Zealand apocalypto. Like,
oh yeah, okay,
it just seems
to
be
that.
Like all natives doing
action
stuff.
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that.
Kind of not.
I'm like, First Nations violence. It's violence. I don't care.
And that's part of the Maori, though. They were basically would move into another's territory and take it.
Oh, yeah. They like, were
They're a warrior nation like that.
There you go. Bring us blood.
It's much like the Haida. The Haida like to go on extended trips.
Oh, extended hunting trips?
Yeah.
Kind of like the Vikings?
They enslave people.
I don't know. I mean, it's not something I'm not running out to see this tomorrow, but I'm certainly curious. There was fighting and blood and, you know, why not? I'm so all over the place. Moving on to the 24th, another film I'm actually kind of excited about. The Age of Adeline.
A woman becomes immortal.
And through some weird accident. Whatever.
Because reasons.
Because reasons. I love it.
And solitary life suddenly. Love so enters sad. Again. I was interested in this movie, but I wasn't sure if Blake Lively could pull off
performance. I'm still not sure Blake Lively could pull off the performance.
Yeah, that was kind of my question, because I haven't really followed her in any, like, I wasn't a Gossip Girls fan or...
You're missing out, man.
But
XOXO.
My sense of this movie is, like, she has the heavy lifting, and if she can pull it off, it looks like an interesting movie.
I'm totally with
if she
you.
Can't...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she can't.
I didn't see the trailer, but I have to say, if I ever was cursed with immortality, I am going directly to the Douglas Adams School, and I'm going to systematically throughout time try to figure out how to insult every single person in alphabetical order. I'm doing it.
Okay.
That's part of the book, man.
Okay.
Yeah. And it gets to Arthur twice, and it's like, wait, have I done you? But that's, damn it.
How's that alphabetical order if you get to Arthur twice?
Well, he screwed up in his he's doing it throughout the all the universe kind of thing throughout time. So he has to jump back and forth throughout time and throughout space. And he somehow screwed up and went to Arthur twice.
He needed an assistant.
Wait, I've done you.
So yeah, Adele, I'm totally with you. I think it sounds and looks really great. I'm just not sure if she can pull it off. I hope she does. Because I am very curious to check this one out. And I like the director. Well, I like Celeste and Jesse Forever, which, you know, I'm a fan of. Also open on the 24th, Little Boy.
Did we talk about this like a month or two ago?
We may have.
Was this the one about him willing things to happen? And he wanted his...
You're right.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so. It must have got pushed.
Yeah.
The one with Helena Bonham Carter?
You know, I missed this one on the trailer, so it's got Kevin James.
Emily Watson, yeah. Tom Wilkinson, Ben Chaplin.
Oh, this might be the one. Yeah, I think you guys are right.
Yeah.
I think it's Emily Watson that I'm thinking about.
If you can believe it, you can make it happen.
Whatever, it still looks terrible.
Yes.
Even if we talked about it 3 months
terrible
ago, it
then,
still looks
terrible now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Can we skip it? Let's
yes.
just move on.
Yes.
The Water Divide.
There. I crossed it out. It's official. Doesn't exist.
Also, on the 24th, The Water Diviner, Russell Crowe, directing, overdramatic, a man searching for his lost children.
Yeah.
It looks horrible, but I'd probably watch it because it's Gallipoli.
And I'll probably watch it because it's Jake Courtney.
And at one point, he's picking up shells from the water. Yeah.
Oh, that gotcha.
And turkey.
Well, turkey, I think, was the...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks really
turkey
good.
Turkey landscape.
I actually
World War II connection going on. World War II? World War One?
World War... Oh, good
shit,
question.
Shit, Gallipoli. Damn it.
I think it's
I
one.
I don't know. I'm not commenting.
I think it's one, but
it's one. Sorry, I suddenly feel very bad about myself.
All I know is that it looks mildly entertaining.
It's
got to
be World War
One. The Battle of Gallipoli?
Yeah.
Dale is looking it up. I will keep filling blank space as he does. I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, but I'd probably watch it.
Oh, me too. Jay Courtney.
Yeah, 1915.
There you go.
World War
One. Okay, let's wrap this sucker up, at least, you know, the monthly stuff.
They're using Sopwell camels. It had to be.
Camels. oh, gosh. Also opening on the 24th, Adult Beginners. Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
You should be in better movies.
I know.
You.
Again, this had no spark at all. No chemistry.
So Nick Kroll plays this guy who like loses a bunch of people's money and his own. So he's like desperate and destitute. So he moves in with his pregnant sister, played by Rose Byrne, and her husband, Bobby Cannavale, who's actually kind of awesome. They both are really awesome and this trailer looks terrible. Okay.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
There was nothing here.
We can just keep on. I won't even get up the energy to insult it.
I'm crossing this one out. It no longer exists.
Colleen is making things disappear by them off. Can you make things appear by adding them?
All right.
Can you give me like a Keanu Reeves movie? I need a Keanu Reeves movie.
Okay. Make Johnny Mnemonic 2.
Yes!
John Wick 2, The Puppy Fights Back.
Winner. Okay.
Bill and Ted's Totally Redundant Adventure.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, Ted's Excellent Solo.
Whoa.
Ted's Excellent Solo. Fucking love it.
Wild Stallions. Woo! Oh,
Jesus. We are way. Okay, so what are we going to do instead of a phone booth? Because the phone booths are pretty much dead now.
Well, okay. I'm thinking refrigerator box.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. You might die. Dumpster.
Oh, one of the great big pickup garbage cans you have to crawl in there.
Nice. No, yes. I like dumpster.
Dumpster.
I don't know. I'm thinking selfie stick.
death by selfie stick.
Yes. Oh.
Jesus Christ. We saw a Bluetooth powered selfie stick the other day. Let's not talk about it. And closing off the month, Misery Loves Comedy. Kevin Pollak directs a guest documentary about comedians and where, you know, the dark side.
Yeah, I think this looks like really interesting.
Yeah, the trailer really got me. I'm curious.
Comedians are typically really interesting people. So even when they're not doing comedy, just commenting on things. So this could be very...
Yeah, it'll be entertaining to some degree. I mean, it looks like a lot of talking heads. Lots of interesting talking heads, so I'm okay with that. Okay, Colleen is like losing her shit over there and she's only on page 2. All right, local stuff. I know now it's all local stuff and there's a lot of it at the Van City
Holy
Theater.
Shit,
yeah, sorry. It just happened.
What is
that way.
With that, eh?
I don't know. Okay, so kicking off April the 3rd, Kumiku the Treasure Hunter, the one about the girl that goes looking for the money from.
Sees the distorted Fargo video, yep, and thinks it's real and goes right. Treasure hunting, yeah.
Opening the 3rd, plays through to the 9th. God Help the Girl, Stuart Murdoch's movie starring Emily Browning about a group, a rock group in like the 60s or 70s in England. Bill really liked it. It's the only reason I sort of noted it. Plays April the 6th. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, playing April the 7th. The Backward Class, playing April the 10th to the 18th. This is a documentary by Madeline Grant, who's a local filmmaker. And it's about I guess she did some volunteer work at a school in India, which just has untouchables. And she's made numerous visits over the years, returning back there. And it's basically about these individuals who really don't have a place in society and how they're sort of trying to make a life for themselves. Sounds really interesting. I'm certainly curious about that. All the Time in the World, Suzanne Crocker's documentary about a family that basically, like, they take their kids out of school and they go live in the wilderness for a year. I know, sounds a little schlocky to me, but could work. April the 12th to the 18th. And Girlhood, Celine Sima's award-winning French film about a group of, like, basically like a gang of girls in Paris. April the 17th to the 21st. Canadian Film Day is happening on April the 29th. They have a couple of screenings, including a free screening of Mommy. If you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend you check that out. If you can see it on the big screen, highly, highly recommend it on the big screen. Also, The Valley Below and Andrew Kukuliak's Violent, which I highly recommend. And one that I don't recommend, Songs She Wrote About People She Knows. Pretty much the worst movie I saw of IF last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'd say skip it. But, you know, you might be interested. but a woman who sings her emotions really badly.
I hate this film.
That's better than the movie.
Sweet. I'm tired.
Moving over to the Cinematheque, the kidnapping of Michael Hukuliak. He is Michael Hukuliak is like a best-selling novelist. I think he's French. He wrote this story and kind of he stars in it, kind of playing himself, a version of himself. So it's like a crime comedy playing April 3rd to the 9th. It's supposed to be really, really funny. Michael Snow's Wavelength is being teamed up with Antonio Noi's Blow Up, playing two nights, April the 22nd and the 24th. Cinema Sunday. There you go. Pee Wee's Big Adventure coming at you. Or just ask Colleen.
Paul Reuben, baby. Woo!
And the Frames of Mind screening for this month is She's Lost Control, which is screening April the 15th. I'm very excited about this. The movie looks fantastic. I've been hearing nothing but good things about it. It's about the story of a woman who's a sex therapist who becomes a little too close to one of her clients. Things get dramatic and out of control. Looks fantastic. At the Rio, we don't usually mention the Rio, but they've got so much good stuff coming up. I thought we had to. South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is playing on the 3rd. They're also doing two nights. They're doing screenings of 16 Candles and Breakfast Club Double Bill. Burroughs, the movie, and Naked Lunch are both playing April the 4th, sort of back-to-back. They're doing a Monty Python trilogy night, The Holy Grail, Life of Brian, and Meaning in Life on April the 5th. Blade Runner, The Final Cut on April the 10th. Dr. Strangelove on the 15th. Event Horizon, which I highly recommend on the big screen. That movie is so fucking scary. April the 17th. And the craziest movie ever, also playing on the 17th, Roar. This is, have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
So Tippi Hedren, she became like a conservationist of wild tigers and lions and stuff.
Right.
So she had these animals like in her backyard just roaming freely. Like they had this house with this like backyard that was like the reserve. And somebody decided it would be a good idea to make a movie with like real life untrained like wild tigers and lions and all these other feline animals.
Batshit crazy.
Shit got seriously wrong. Like 15 crew members were mauled during the filming. Melanie Griffith had to get reconstructive surgery because she was mauled by a lion.
Melanie Griffith.
Yes. Things you never thought about.
When was this shot?
I think the late 70s, early 80s. I don't think the movie ever came out. It's one of the ones that Drafthouse has sort of like revived.
Holy
the
shit.
Trailer, that's insane. It's
how old was Melanie Griffith?
She was a teenager. Like you look at the trailer, she was a teenager. She was maybe 18.
Wow.
It's fucking insane. You have to watch the trailer. It'll blow your mind. I'll be there. It's going to be a maze ball.
Sweet.
Come if you dare. Do we know what's playing at the...
The Hollywood 3 for this month, which I think is the 27th, is the Friday?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do the math.
You're allowed.
Anyways, so this coming Friday, midnight screening at the Pitt Theater in Pitt Meadows, Hollywood 3, is Who You Gonna Call... Ghostbusters. So I know a lot of Ghostbusters has been going on the last little while, but here's another chance for you to get down with Harold Ramis and Bill Murray and that other dude that I always forget. And then the black dude I also always forget. And then the chick who has that awesome nasal voice, which I can never remember. Annie Potts?
Annie Potts.
There you go. I got one.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver. Rick Moranis.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Exactly. It's all quality good fun.
And I'll mention just one film festival, the Reel to Reel Film Festival, April 10th to the 17th. All kid-friendly stuff all the time. They've got like screenings at three different theaters around town. I thought I would mention it because they are including two screenings of Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, which sold out like six screenings when we showed it at Spark. So if you didn't get a chance to see it, my hand goes up because I didn't even get a chance to see it. Can you believe that? So that's playing at Giovanni's Island, which is really good, and Wadja, which I highly recommend. Played VIF last year or the year before.
Cool.
That's it. Do you guys have anything else to add since we're at it?
Don't think so.
No, not really. Nothing film related. Crickets.
So we will be back in a couple of weeks, if not sooner.
March sure went fast. I cannot freaking believe it. I say that about every month, but this
one really did go fast.
I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's been one roller coaster of aggro.
But Easter long weekend coming up.
Thank God for that. William Shatner, man.
Long weekend. This weekend?
No, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Next weekend?
Yeah.
Easter Friday.
Yep.
I'll have to do a motorcycle
adventure.
The
holiday's on the Monday, right?
Well, there's Easter Friday and
Good Monday.
Or no, Good Friday and Easter Monday.
Oh, yeah. I think
most people get Friday, don't they? And Monday is government.
I get both, so.
Oh, Monday is the one that.
We would have to check to see what the.
There's math involved.
Yeah, I don't do well with math.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really late last year. Now it's really early. Mm. But. Because of math.
Pointless motorcycle adventure. And
astronomy.
Yeah, just math and astronomy. All I heard was math. Then I sort of...
I actually read up on how you actually determine it, and it's quite convoluted.
It's crazy, yeah. Which is why Easter and Hanukkah? Or...
Oh, no.
The Jewish holiday landed on the same day, and like it happens
Passover?
Once. Passover? Once every kajillion years.
Once every kajillion years.
Seriously, yeah. No, it's like because they called it, they did some interesting combination of Easter and Hanukkah. It has nothing to do with movies.
It has nothing to do with
Hanukkah. I don't know.
What's his name? Not Ben Stiller, the other guy.
My love of latkes isn't enough for me to know anything about that
stupid Christmas movie.
Punch Drunk Love, dude.
Yeah, that guy.
And, yeah, he's doing that. God.
Oh my God, my mind is totally. You should know this.
The Hanukkah Hammer.
Yeah. Yes, that one. I can never remember his name now. Adam Sandler.
Adam, no,
thank you.
No, Adam Goldberg.
No, I'm thinking of Adam Sandler.
No, Adam Sandler does a Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking about the movie.
Well, he did do a movie, didn't he?
The Hanukkah Hammer. No, he was 12 Crazy Nights.
Yes, that's
which
the
is
one
the
I'm
like the
about.
Mr. Magoo-esque one.
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking about.
That's right.
The Hanukkah Hammer?
I don't know. I thought it was all just related. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going long.
Yeah, Hanukkah's Christmas is. Oh God.
I don't know.
I'm
Rosh
losing
Hashan?
It.
It's all math and astronomy and
Passover.
Rosh Hashanah is the new year. That's not definitely.
All
not.
I know is I celebrate Cthulhu, and that's the only thing I have to take care of now. It's Cthulhu celebrations.
Okay.
Which revolves around me writing a speech, basically a toast, more of a toast than a speech, to Cthulhu kind of thing, and not delivering it at an actual assembly. That is part of my traditional Cthulhu, preparing a speech and not delivering it.
Nice.
I know.
Yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Wait a minute.
Shaka Khanna?
Good
Shaka
God.
Khan? Shaka Khan?
It's Passover, yeah.
Passover?
That's usually the one that's around Easter time.
You want to know what's really sad? I found that by going Easter Jewish holiday.
Oh.
That's how common that kind of stupid Christians.
I kind of love the autofills on Google.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Sometimes you start typing and it's like, what's coming up next? Some of them are really sad and some of them are really funny. I always amuse myself in the dumbest ways. All right. So we will be back in a couple of weeks with another preview. Until then, be sure to come on by roll3.com. Check out the other podcasts, all the reviews and stuff. Man, we got a lot of podcasts. We might as well just be like a podcasting network at this point.
We should form a network. Yeah.
Hey.
Well, you know, Toronto did it. I kind of have issue with that, actually. But
there's a Toronto podcasting network?
Yes, I refuse to name it by name.
Okay.
Because
I know a lot of podcasts around here that aren't film related if you wanted non-film.
Yep. We should totally start our own.
Sweet.
Let's come up with a good name. I'll tell you about it after.
Okay.
The air.
Brilliant.
So yeah, be sure to come on by roll3.com. Check out all the
podcasts. A dead horse?
Oh, well, that could work.
Yes.
You already own it.
Charge your rights for it.
No thanks. Okay, so come on by roll3.com. Check out links to all of the show notes and all of the other good stuff that we post throughout the weeks. Some of the other podcasts, which are awesome. And we will be back soon. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
nice. Thanks for recording too.
Of course it is. I was trying to get you doing fart noises.
There'll be the extras at the end.
Yeah, I was trying to get you doing fart noises on your.
I couldn't do it.
Oh man,
I'm pathetic at that.
I think I'm suffering from like tennis elbow, and I don't even play tennis. My elbow really hurts.
I'm suffering from post-traumatic anger syndrome. I'm very traumatized by my own anger.
Traumatized by my own anger. I kind of love that.
I'm suffering from severe ennui. Precipitation depression.
Oh, ho, ho, ennui.
Oh, ho. Precipitation
oh, ho.
Depression.
Oh, ha, ha.
Okay, where is that from?
What? Oh, ho, ho.
I don't know. Oh, haha. It sounds like
every French, coming to take bad me away. French movie. Yeah, or that song.
There you go.
Mais oui.
Because the first thing I think is like Little Mermaid, but you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not where I go.
Every bad movie.
That's why, you know.
That's right.
Are we ready?
As ready as I'm going to be today.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get the show on the road.